for tuning in to the Illuminations podcast. We love having you here. It is our mission to be a beacon of light on your journey towards conscious and mindful living. In our weekly episode, we bring you inspiring change makers in the field of spirituality, healing, personal growth, and wellness who share their insight and expertise so you can navigate your way to a happier, healthier, and more purposeful life.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Illuminations World Podcast. My name is Nia Roy. I am a clinical hypnotherapist, graphologist, and family constellation facilitator here at Illuminations. And just like before, we are back with another speaker, with another topic, and I cannot wait to just get into it because this is a very, very important topic when it comes to therapy, healing, and so on. And it's been booming in the past couple of years. And I feel like this episode will be so impactful to so many people's lives, just in terms of getting some insight on why do you have certain patterns in your relationships, in finances, and other areas of your life. So let me please invite Miss Mitali Akarte. She is a spiritual psychologist, regression therapist, and trainer. And the topic for today is exploring the impact of inner child wounds on finances and relationships. Thank you so much for joining me today, Mitali.
Thank you so much for having me, Nia. I'm really excited to get this started.
So let's get started then. Absolutely. So the first things first. What exactly is inner child therapy?
Yes, so inner child therapy is a psychotherapeutic approach wherein the personality can be understood in terms of two parts. Mm-hmm. One is the healthy functioning adult of today. Mm-hmm. And the other is the child part in us that perhaps is stuck in some trauma, carrying some wound, some pain, some agony. And that resource is not available to us. And that pain is what brings a lot of shadows to our life. So understanding all of that, resolving all of that, so that we can free ourselves from the pain and we can finally integrate all those beautiful resources. That's inner child therapy.
So when you say we have two parts of us, one is the adult, yes, and one is the part that is that has gone through certain traumas, right?
Yes.
How can you recognize which part you are actually operating from at the moment? Like, how do you know that you are the adult? How do you know that you are a child now? What's the difference?
Absolutely. That's a lovely question, Nia. And clear-mindedness is a hallmark of an adult. When we are clear-minded, equanimous, we are completely present, and we know that this is what we are looking at. This is our past. This is our present. And the past for us doesn't exist in that moment. That is when we know that we are a fully functioning adult.
So, but when you think about it, right, on a daily basis, we are either always thinking about our past, thinking about our future.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've always, it's very rare to really have a clear mind,
yes,
you know, with the way we live. So does that mean we are actually not our adult self and we're always in our inner child?
So a lot of times, in fact, I would say most of the times we are actually working from an inner child mode because we get carried away by our past. The past is in us a lot of times. So it takes a lot of willpower. It takes a lot of presence, a lot of awareness of what we are operating as. And it's not that difficult. For example, if we are sitting and anything is going on, we can check in and check if it's an adult that is doing this. Mm. Is it an adult kind of a thought or a feeling? Or am I or it is a child, which is like, you know, either wanting to run away or hide or, you know, having these kind of survival strategies.
And this is how you can tell whether you are operating,
yes,
from an adult perspective or not.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And so when it comes to these inner child personalities, right, or moments, how many inner children can you have at a time or in your life? Like what's the concept like?
So, you know, we can have as many inner children as the moments we've had in our life. Mm. But not every moment will carry pain. So theoretically, that's the bit. But we have a few events of our past that have really, really messed us up. A lot of pain, a lot of trauma comes from there. And they take over our day-to-day functioning so much that a lot of times we can't tell. Mm. A lot of times, you know, because there are conflicts in life. I want to do this, but then it's damn scary. And how do I get it done? Now, a healthy functioning adult would go for it. Like, yeah, it's an opportunity. Grab it. Go ahead. But a child would be scared, you know. A child would feel that, oh, is it safe? Will I get hurt? Will I be punished? Will I be reprimanded? Will I get scolded? No, that's, I don't want to do this. So, you know, the body language, the posture, we can tell. An adult will have a very smooth, easy, clear-minded approach to things.
So you touch based on the word trauma.
Yes.
What does it take to label something as trauma? Because a lot of the times people think, you know, trauma has to be something extremely bad, because I remember people telling me, saying like, oh, nothing really happened to my life, nothing significant happened to my life yet. Yes. They'd have so many problems in their life, right? Absolutely. So how would you label something as trauma? What would that look like?
So when we look at things from an adult perspective, like when we are dealing with a child and a knife is taken away from the child who was playing with it, now, it looks very silly to us that, you know, that can't be traumatic. But for the child, it's like this. I'm playing with this thing. It's very fascinating. It's sharp. And what can I do with it? And now it's being taken away. And now my mother is taking away from me this object of fascination. And that is when the child will feel that, perhaps will feel that, oh my God, she just betrayed me. She took away something that had fascinated me so much. Now, that can be a trauma.
Oh, wow.
For the child. It doesn't look like that from an adult point of view. But for the child, it may be.
So is that why when we look back at things that have happened in the past, as an adult, you're like, oh, okay, that's fine. You know, I was beaten by my mom. It's okay. You get over it. You understand. But I imagine in the moment, with the understanding and the development that you have, you probably think it's the worst thing that has happened. So if you really look at parenting styles, or whether it's if you're from an American household or from an Indian household, the way kids are raised varies in many, many different ways. So can you shed some light on how parents play a role in terms of creating inner children and people?
Yes. So parents have a very delicate and important part to play. It is their mindfulness, their clear-mindedness, their equanimity that will come into the picture. If they are operating from their past of pain, of agony, of traumas, then it can be very messy for the child, because now there is no healthy functioning parent. It's a parent with a heavy hangover or a shadow of an inner child. So when parents get agitated or they displace their frustrations on the children, it can be very traumatic for the children to grow up like that. So that is why a mindful parenting is the need of the hour.
So what about for people who, while they're listening to this and they recognize their parents weren't present and they were operating from their inner children, what does that mean for people? Okay, they'll probably think that, okay, I wasn't lucky enough to have mindful parents. So does that mean my life is screwed up? So let's say if you haven't had that kind of ideal upbringing, what can you do about it now?
Yes. So the first thing is to identify and become aware of the patterns you're carrying.
Okay.
And life keeps talking to us at all moments. We have to see what's not working for us. Mm-hmm. If you spot patterns, and then if you've seen that they are coming from childhood, and there are things, you know, there are reactions that I'm having and they're not working for me, then it is time to look at your past and perhaps go for therapy, go for professional help, because that's the quickest way to resolve all of that.
So the first thing that you do is look out for patterns. So the minute you find patterns, then what happens? So where does that take you, patterns?
So merely identifying patterns can free us. Because when we are looking at our life and we see these patterns, we have kind of dissociated. And now it's the adult looking at the patterns. So that itself is very liberating, a step. And then the question is, what do you do with it? Yes, there's a pattern. I have recognized that. What do I do? Do I have the resources to deal with it? And usually, no, not really, because you need a therapeutic environment to get over it at, you know, as the fastest approach. So professional help is something I would really recommend. Mm-hmm. But the first thing would be to identify and be aware. And that will take care of a lot of self-criticism and harshness that we have towards ourselves. You know, we are not that compassionate.
Yeah, I can imagine, because if let's say you have had critical parents growing up, and that becomes a voice in your head, and with everything that you do in life, that's the lens through which you look at things from, right?
Absolutely.
So after you recognize the pattern, after you're aware, what you're saying is it then gives you a choice,
yes.
Right? So it you can either look at it as, okay, I'm a victim and I can't do anything about it, or you could do something about it. Either that's by yourself or externally with a professional.
Yes, so there's
help.
A very good word that you've used there, Nia, the victim. Now, when we are in that victim mode, we have these ego stories that are going on, right? He did that to me. She did that to me. Life is just like that. It's unjust. It's unfair. And I have money issues. Money is not working for me. Now, when we are in that victim mode, we will keep attracting again and again situations that will further make us feel like a victim.
How does that happen? How do we subconsciously, without actively looking for these patterns, how do we attract these situations in life? I'm really curious about that.
So we attract these situations because we are emitting a certain signal all the time. We are electromagnetic beings. And if we have at the core things like, you know, a victim tendency or sadness or frustration or guilt, then we are actually emitting that all the time. So we will attract situations in our lives again and again and again that will make us feel like a victim. That's one part of
because that's the core.
Because that's the core. That could be the core. So our issues are very multi-layered. If something is not working for me right now, I can have an X feeling about it. But that's not the only feeling. It's like, you know, you can imagine an earth. Mm-hmm. And there is earth, there is a core of the earth. We also have a core issue, a dominating issue. And layers and layers and layers around that. So whenever anything happens, yes, we feel a lot of things, but this core is something which is at the bottom, and that keeps duplicating all of those emotions again and again and again.
And is this why, let's say, when you don't think about the choices or you don't do anything about it and these patterns keep playing up, it's actually taking you into a deeper, deeper hole if you end up being the victim? Is that the reason why?
Yes. So it's like, you know, you're going down a spiral and you will keep attracting more and more of that. And more you will feel that I don't have a choice. That was another word that you used beautifully, a choice. Choice, again, is the hallmark of an adult. Understanding that at all moments, we do have a choice. Perhaps, if not in action, in thinking, in response, in feeling a certain way. And that is something that can be a catalyst for real change deep within ourselves.
Wow. So let's say if someone is, you know, been through intense bullying and abuse in their childhood, and all they've seen is that kind of reality.
Yes.
Right? How can someone now start practicing choice? How can that become, let's say, if they haven't been to a therapist before, and if that's not an option, yeah. How do you reckon you can bring in this element of choice?
Yes. So what you're talking about is something like learned helplessness. That
interesting.
Yeah, that if we are in traumatic situations again and again and again, then at some point we tend to give up.
Yeah.
And we think that, you know what, no matter what I do, it's not working, it's not going to work, this is my fate, and I resign to that.
Is this why people get into suicidal tendencies and so on?
Or even substance abuse for that matter, because they feel that the road ahead is blocked. And then it's a choice, it's an impulse that can come from a deep sense of self.
Sense of self. What do you mean by that?
So it's an impulse that will perhaps come from deep within the core, and it will keep coming, like on a day-to-day basis. It's upon us whether to look at it or not, whether to hear that or not. We have a choice even to listen to it and do something about it, or to shut it.
So it sounds like this idea of that we have a choice at every given moment needs to be drilled into our minds, basically.
Yes. So you know why it is misrepresented like that? Because people think that behaviorally or action-wise, we don't have a choice. But the real choice is you have a choice as to what to think about the situation. You have a choice as to what to feel about it.
So the meaning that you give...
Exactly.
It.
It's your perceptive filter, even in the thickest of the trauma. And if that's happening in your life, you have a choice. Do you want to continue living like that? Yeah. Or do you want to this time do something different that will open a different reality for you?
I want to now touch base on money and relationship. These two topics seem to be a common areas of interest for many people. So could you shed some light on how these inner child wounds or core issues play up in money and relationships?
Yes. So let's talk about money.
Yeah.
Money is a beautiful energy that we have on earth. It is a resource that we all have a right to have. Now, not everyone has the amount of money that one would want or one would need, because there are these projections onto the very concept of money. And they may be coming from our early childhood experiences. For example, if we are growing up in a household where, you know, a modest living is something that is preferred and money is looked at something which is evil, or, you know, let's not go after money because that will spoil your essence as a person, then that's the conditioning we grow up with. And then growing up, we literally borrow these concepts about money. Money can be toxic. Money can change the way people relate. You know, we may have heard stories that, oh, this XYZ person earned so much and then he stopped mingling with his family, with his friends. So we have these general borrowed ideas about money. And we can't help but operate from that, because they have gone into us when we were very young.
You don't even realize. You don't
even
remember.
We don't remember because we are like these sponges that absorb all of that is going on in the surroundings, in the family. And that's why we have a tendency for the richer to get richer and the poorer to get poorer.
Because that's what you know.
Because that's what is happening in the early formative years of life. That's what has been unconsciously drilled in you.
So even if you want to make $1 million, but you've grown up with this mentality that if you're rich, then you're a horrible person, basically.
Yes.
It's almost like you will always have this block.
Always is not the right word, because that's taking for granted that we know all the permutations and combinations that are happening in the universe. But we would have a tendency to do that. Because even if the adult is clear that I want to make money, why not? I want a great lifestyle. I want to feel secure.
Mm.
But there are these deeper hidden layers in us that we don't know. And they will keep exerting this pressure. So every time I am going for a deal and I'm almost going to secure it, there is this nagging energy. It's an energetic pull that we are looking at, because it's not simply a thought. It's a combination of a thought, an emotion, an energy, and a behavior club together.
Oh, wow.
And then that would be a time when you would perhaps unconsciously sabotage yourself. And perhaps you will create scenarios. So that's something very interesting that the unconscious mind does. It creates scenarios.
All based on thoughts, emotion, energy, and behavior.
Yes.
Wow. So how does, so you mentioned this about finances. How does this now play up in relationship? Because considering you're with another human being, right? So how do you... how do you attract, even though you logically know, say, I don't want a toxic relationship. No one gets into a relationship saying, I want a toxic relationship, right?
And yet that's the repercussion.
But that's what happens. So how does that happen? Even though you're consciously aware of what you want and what you don't want, how do you end up picking up these patterns in relationships?
Right. So again, it's the same principle. It's growing up formative years and what went in at that time. So the first things that we need to understand in terms of relationships is the dynamics with the mother and her energy of relationships.
Why the mother?
Why the mother? Because we have been in our mother's womb. And that is a time when, through the umbilical cord, all that the mother feels and thinks and experiences, it all goes in. And that becomes like a blueprint, a go-to mechanism for everything in life. So it starts with the mother. It starts when we are in our mother's womb.
Wow. So you are saying when you are in your mother's womb, everything that the mother feels and thinks and believes, the child absorbs.
The child absorbs. And not only that, it's energy, right? So when we absorb that, a part of us gets displaced. So not only are we now taking in outside influences, outside concepts and experiences and judgments and labels and opinions about relationships, we also have lost perhaps our zeal, our enthusiasm, our joy, our hope, our vitality. Because if something has come in, something has to go out.
Yeah.
So it affects us in both ways. So it starts with the mother, and then growing up, once we are in the outside world, the kind of relationships we see around us. How is the dynamic between the mother and the father? How does the father take care of day-to-day life? Family systems, extended families, friends, peers, their families, all that is going in.
So let's say growing up, if parents weren't present, how does that affect a child's view on relationships? Or let's say if the child was in the mother's womb and the mother didn't want the baby, how does that manifest in terms of relationships and your identity?
So growing up, if the mother did not want the baby, then that's a deep, deep rejection that we feel in the womb. And then the thought that comes with it, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve to be here, for example. There is this deep sadness, this deep loneliness about a person then. And that sort of gets carried over and is recreated again and again and again. And that's also because the unconscious mind will keep recreating scenarios to rectify the past wrongs.
So say that again. The unconscious mind
keeps creating the same scenarios because it wants to rectify a past wrong.
That is so interesting.
That is very interesting. And so to say, as many breaths as we have, those many opportunities we have to recreate our lives.
Wow.
That's the big takeaway. And do we do that?
No.
And mostly we don't do that.
Because you kind of use those scenarios as reasons to why you are this, why you are that.
And as go-to mechanisms, as blueprints, where we are doing the same thing again and again and again and expecting a different result from that.
Oh, wow.
So if you look at it, it's a beautiful game. Like, this life is a beautiful energetic game.
Wow.
We just need to play it right.
So what would be your top advice or tips when it comes to breaking away from these patterns and recognizing them? What would you say?
I would say that the first thing would be to ask yourself, would you want anything different out of your life?
Would you want anything different?
Yes, it's a question we need to ask ourselves, that are we ready to want something different? Are we even open to the possibility of having a life which is different than this? Okay, you may not understand the mechanics of that, but do you at least have a desire to have a different life? That's enough. If you have that, and then the steps would follow. And frankly, these steps would be different for different people. Like, we can talk of general things like, you know, looking at your life from a little dissociated perspective so that you can identify the patterns. You can take professional help. I cannot talk enough about that, because there are professionals out there who know how to guide you through this in the quickest possible way for a permanent solution.
Right.
So that would be something else. And most importantly, once you make up your mind that, yes, I don't want this, I want something different, then our larger self talks to us and guides us through these impulses.
What about for people who say, I want to change, I want to break out, but it's not happening,
Yes.
But so are you saying that deep down they don't have a desire to change?
No, I would not say that. What we are looking at in that scenario is multiple parts of us. So a part of us wants to change, but a part of us feels very comfortable being in the pain, because that's a known area. And anything known, even if it's painful or not working for us, is our safe zone.
So you will actually choose to stay in that so-called pain because it's the known.
Because it's the known. And that is exactly why it is difficult to break patterns, right? It's difficult to come out of a dysfunctional relationship. It's difficult to want a different life for yourself, to create a different life. Because even if something which is not working for you right now is very known, it feels safe.
Why do human beings do that? Why is it that they gravitate towards the known versus the unknown, even though you know that the known is perhaps toxic or bad for you? Why do we do that?
Yes, because that's how we have evolved. We have evolved through primitive years as understanding what will work for us, what will not work for us. Something which is pro-life, something which is against life. So initially in primitive years, we would be looking at real threats like a lion or a famine or a flood. But now we don't have that. And we have these forces around us as everyday stressors. So even though that life-threatening challenge is not what we encounter on a day-to-day basis, what we do encounter is something that creates the same response in us, the fight or flight.
Wow.
And that is exactly the reason why we would gravitate towards something known and comfortable, because you know that if things can go wrong, you can sort it out. So it's a very survival-based existence. So the question is, do we want to choose survival? Or do we want more than survival? Do we want to really thrive in life? We really want to earn a lot of money and live the life that we want. Or we want the relationships we want and we want to flourish. And that's what we are here for. We are here to shine our unique potential.
I love that. So a big takeaway here is, if you are finding yourself in these patterns where you are either in toxic relationships or negative mindsets about finances or other areas of your life, and a part of you wants to change, but a part of you keeps finding yourself in that situation, the biggest takeaway is the fact that you are living in survival. Would that be?
Yes. Right? So you're living in survival. A part of you feels safe in having the problem. So we are looking at now different paths. The adult is clear, I want this. Now there's a part which feels scared to go out there. So we need to take care of the fear. Then we have a part that actually carries the problem, the pattern. So we have to trace it back to its origin. And that is where inner child work comes in.
So this is what you mean by addressing those different, the layers that
Yes, exactly.
So you have that layer of fear that's stopping you from taking the right steps.
Absolutely.
And then there's another layer that takes you to the core.
Right.
So how do you finally heal the core? And how do you know that you have healed the core?
So it's very easy to reach the core, frankly, because we just have to be very mindful of the layers that are in us, and that can be beautifully explored through a therapeutic session. Now, once we reach the core, we understand its origin. And that's the hallmark of therapy. You understand the origin, you look at it properly, you feel it, and you let it go.
So letting go is a big part.
Yes. Not only letting go, but this time choosing something that will really empower you.
So what about in cases, let's say hypothetically, if someone's been raped, all right, and they're extremely angry and so on. In a situation like that, when there's deep trauma, how do you go back to the core and let it go?
Yes. So here we are looking at two things. We are looking at a huge trauma, and that has to be healed very gently. We can't really push our way. And at the same time, we can create an environment for the client to feel safe to explore that. And once the client is ready, once you have explored that layer fully and resolved it and freed yourself from it, you've let go for yourself and not for the other, then after that would be this exploration of deeper layers.
And the deeper layers can be?
The deeper layers can be anything. It can be different for different people. For example, beneath a fear could be anxiety, could be nervousness. And then beneath the nervousness,
shame.
Could be shame, exactly, guilt. Beneath that could be immense, deep sadness. So when we reach the core, it's interesting that just beneath the core is our source. So we have been, I wouldn't say we were born complete, because that's not true. We are born very differently. You know, we come with a unique blueprint. And when we are born, more or less, we are complete. That is the source for the current lifetime. And the first shocker to the system is the core issue. So once you heal the core issue, you can then access the source beautifully. And then when you access the source beautifully, you will flow in life. Wow. Things will work out for you.
Because energetically you have shifted.
Yes, energetically you have shifted. You have released the layers. And now that fountain of source is like just coming out of you.
Wow.
Taking you places.
I love that.
So, though we don't do anything action-wise, really, we just keep working on ourselves and the actions will organically happen. Wow. And that's the beauty of flow and surrender and inspiration-based action.
Which is
very different from, oh, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. You know, that's not
so
coming
feeling
from
motivated,
your source.
Feeling inspired.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Because your source can guide you. My source can't guide yours, your way of life, because we all are different.
Right. Thank you so much, Mithali. This was such a great conversation, and I'm sure we could have talked a lot more about this, but I hope all the audience got a really good takeaway from everything that we've discussed. And until next time, I'm wishing everyone a great day, live light, and stay safe. Thank you so much, Mithali.
Thank you
for
so much for having me.
Absolutely. And I look forward to our next conversations. Well, before we end the podcast, how can people find you and how can people get in touch?
So I am here at Illuminations. I'm here offering my services of regression therapy, of hypnotherapy, and of a spiritual psychologist. So if you are interested in learning more about these modalities or coming here for consultations, please book your consultations with Illuminations.
Thank you so much, everybody. Take care.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love to have you tune in again next week as we discuss more engaging topics on relationships, health, career, self-care, and spirituality. If you'd like to help support this podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave us a rating and review. We'd be extremely grateful. To catch all the latest from us, you can also follow us on Instagram at Illuminations World or visit the Illuminations World YouTube channel for more inspiring content. See you again next week, and until then, live light.